evening, everybody. Good evening. Welcome. Welcome if you're watching online. I'm Erica, if we haven't met. I'm the worship leader here at the Oakley campus, and I am so excited to be with you guys tonight. We're doing this next level thing again. It's coming back. And so next level is just time where we love to challenge ourselves to grow in our relationship with God and each other, and we do it through music and teaching, communion. Tonight's going to be a little bit different. We're going to spend our entire night together flexing our singing muscles. Does that sound fun? Yeah. I'm pretty bummed about it. And we're going to use this pretty cool tool called the Pray Model to kind of guide us through our night. And it just looks like praise, repent, ask, and yield. So our night's going to be kind of broken up into sections for each one of these. And this is a great tool for us to use in our personal time with God and also for worship. So we're going to start off, and we're going to start right now. We're going to start with praise. And a person that I like to look to in the Bible for examples of great worship and praise is David. And in the Psalms, because this guy, he knew how to worship, and he was a little messed up, he had his flaws, he was a little crazy, but God called him a man after his own heart. And there's this really cool story in 2 Samuel where he is just totally cutting loose. His hands are in the air, he's dancing, it says he's leaping about, and afterwards he gets in a little bit of trouble. Somebody accuses him of making a fool out of himself. David is a king, you know? You're supposed to be, like, whatever you're supposed to be when you're a king. I don't know. You're not supposed to be making a fool of yourself. But I love David's response. It's in 2 Samuel. He says, you know what? I will celebrate before the Lord. I will become even more undignified than this. And I will become humiliated in my own eyes. And it strikes me that myself, I reserve my worship a lot, and I reserve my obedience to God because of what I'm afraid people might think, who's looking at me, who's going to judge me for what I'm doing. And tonight, I just want to invite all of us, myself included, all of us up here, and all of us watching online or wherever you are, I want us to worship unreservedly. God deserves our undignified worship because he is good, he is holy, yes, and he's awesome. So whatever that means for us, if that means standing up and putting our hands way up in the air, if that means dancing, if that means kneeling before God, that's what I want for me.
Glorious to bow and gratefully sing. He's wonderful love. I should defend the ancient love.
Alright, so I know we're just getting started, but let's get a little uncomfortable already. Let's sing this chorus again and just raise our hands as high as we can. God's worthy of it. And we're just saying, God, you are awesome. I love you. I surrender to you. And I am just all inspired by you. So let's sing it one more time. To you alone be your majesty, your glories, wonders, what tongue can recite. You breathe in the air, you shine in the light. Oh, you alone are the matchless king. To you alone be your majesty. Wonders what tongue can recite. You breathe in the air, you shine in the light. All right, let's get our clapping going. Give thanks to the Lord.
Thank you.
so amazing. We don't have words to describe it, but I just thank you for the opportunity to worship you and to sing with all of these people in this room and watching online. God, it is our honor to lift you up tonight. Amen. All right. Why don't you guys you can clap. Have a seat. Awesome. That was awesome. Have a seat. We're going to shift gears a little bit. We're going to go to our second section of repentance. And after just looking at God's character and his awesomeness, his power, I am immediately taken to a place that is just humble and kneeling before God. And in my personal time with God, that usually looks like me becoming a blubbering mess all over the floor, crying, just asking God to heal my brokenness and forgive me of my sin. And I'm also taken to this really beautiful place of just incredible thankfulness that he still loves me despite all of the craziness, all that I think is wrong with me, and all of the fears that I have. It's incredible. And it's just beautiful tension. And we're going to take communion tonight, which is also a really beautiful tension. I'm going to invite Chuck up on stage. He's going to give us some more context around this. And we were talking yesterday, Chuck, you said you have been learning some new things about repentance, so share that with us.
Yes, I will. But first of all, I just have to say, I have so missed Next Level. Is this not awesome to just be together worshiping? And I just want to say, Erica, Robbie, Hannah, all of you guys on the stage, seriously, thank you for bringing us to a place. Who feels like they're in a place where it's like, I want more of this? I want more of this. This is just awesome. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. So yeah, we were talking yesterday, and I was telling Erica there's so many beautiful promises in the Bible. And one recently that a friend of mine introduced me to, and it's almost one of those things where it's like, is this really in the Bible? And I didn't see it all this time. This is awesome. And it really ties into communion. And it comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. And it says this. It says, godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. And I've been thinking about this verse a lot, because the truth is, I think all of us can recognize places in our life where we experience sorrow. We experience regret for maybe choices we've made, maybe harmful words we said today before we left the house, or harmful words we said right before we came in here. And so there's a sense of sorrow that we all feel. But what this verse says is there's a difference between worldly sorrow and godly sorrow. And I want to just tell you what that difference is. When I have sorrow apart from a relationship with God, when things are broken, I really don't have a great way to make them right. And even if I try to make them right, there's still the guilt on the other side of that, the shame on the other side of that. But what this verse says is when we are in our hearts broken to the point of sorrow, when we recognize the places where we fall short, where we recognize where our words were hurtful, where we recognize choices that we're making that are negative to us and to other people, because of the grace of God, because of the cross of Jesus, we're not limited to just being in a place of sorrow. That sorrow brings us to repentance, which means we can turn around. And the beautiful thing about it is God is so gracious and so good that the kind of forgiveness he gives us for the thing that made us sorrowful brings more salvation and freedom in our life and leaves no regret. That is good news. That is good news. And it's why when we celebrate communion, and I'm going to ask the volunteers at all of our stations to come on up. So we've got communion stations right around the front of the stage. We've got stations around the back of the first level and also the back of the second level. And as they come up, that's why communion is really a time when we can be sweetly broken. We're going to sing a song that says we can be sweetly broken when we think about what Jesus did. Broken from a perspective of recognizing my life was so broken that God himself had to come to pay the penalty for my sin. That's the brokenness part. That's the godly sorrow part. But the fact is, Jesus loved us enough to do that, to die in our place. And so when we take communion, it's a sweet remembrance of the grace that we have, the kind of grace that produces a repentance that leaves no regret. And so tonight, we're going to have an opportunity to remember in the midst of our worship why we can live a life with repentance without regret. It's because of what Jesus did on the cross. It's because he came and he bore all of the punishment for all of those choices, thoughts, words, actions that we do that hurt others, hurt ourselves, and put us at odds with God. He died for all of those things so they can be washed away by his blood. So tonight, when you come up and get a piece of bread, it's a reminder that Jesus was sweetly broken for you and he was sweetly broken for me so that we could be in relationship with God. And tonight, as you dip your bread in either the wine or the grape juice, it's a reminder that his blood is what makes us right, that literally we have been washed by his blood. And when we remember that, I hope tonight that there is a sense of godly sorrow. I hope tonight that as you remember the gift of God, there are things in your life that you want to turn away from. As we worship, remember, the greatest act of worship we'll do is not what we do when we stand up and raise our hands in here. The greatest act of worship is when we orient our life in God's direction. And I hope that there are things that we change, but I also know that we can rejoice. We can continue to sing tonight because the grace of God is present for all who would receive it. So tonight, if you're a follower of Jesus, I want to open up the table of communion to you. And I want you to come and be reminded of what it is that we celebrate and why we can be sweetly broken. And if you're not at that place yet, if you're early in that journey with God, man, just you can be a person of integrity and you can consider what it would mean to take these elements and actually believe that it represents something that God actually did for you. So I hope that wherever you are tonight, either receiving communion or reflecting on its meaning, that it's an opportunity for us to remember a good, good God. Communion is now open. The table is open for all who would receive.
To the cross I run, to the cross I cling. Its suffering I do drink, of its work I do sing. For on my Savior, yeah, both bruised and crushed, show that God is love and God is just. Cross you, beckon me. knees and I am lost for words, so lost in love. I am sweetly broken, wholly
I love the the act of communion because it does just that. It helps me remember. And I have to believe that part of God knowing the human experience, you know, that's one of the beautiful things about Jesus. He understands our condition. He understands the human condition. He didn't sin, but he understands that we're people that forget. You know, I forget simple things like where I put my phone, where I put my keys, where I put my phone. And I definitely forget the price of salvation. And so I have to think that when Jesus said to his disciples, "When you do this, remember me," that he knew that, you know, Robbie forgets his phone. And his phone, you know? And so if there's one thing that, there's a lot of things that I would ask, but one of the things that I would ask God, that I do ask God, is just to remember. Because to the degree that I remember the price of salvation, it's the degree that I value it. You know, if you know what your paycheck is worth, you know? You worked it. You earned it, you know? But I didn't earn the gift of salvation. I just had to receive it. So for me, that goes back to looking at the character of Jesus and saying, "Man, I love you. I love you. I need more of you in my life. I want my life to reflect that of yours." So let's sing that chorus again. And just allow that remembrance to kind of set in maybe just a little bit deeper.
Lead me to the cross where your love poured out. Bring me to my knees, Lord, and lay me down. Rid me of myself, I belong to you.
Why don't you guys have a seat again? We're going to shift gears another time. So, Robbie's talking about asking. One of the questions that that I've been asking my whole life is, God, what am I made for? What is it that I'm supposed to do with my life? All these questions that nobody in this room has ever asked themselves, except for me. You're laughing. I know you've thought these things. but recently, I've just felt a push to search and find these specific gifts that God has given me and just so I can figure out how to use them and how to serve God and who he needs me to be. And so I was telling a friend about this the other day, and she's like, you know, have you tried asking God what your gifts are? And I was like, dang, Lynn! So I've been like reading books and taking online quizzes and, you know, reading the Bible like we should. but I don't think I had actually went to God and was just like, hey, could you just tell me what they are? And so I did that when I left breakfast. I said a quick prayer in my car. It was literally like 2 seconds. God, I'm sorry. I haven't even asked you, the dude who created me, what I'm made to do. So could you tell me what my gifts are clearly so that I can know, move forward, and grow in them? And you guys, wait for it. The very next morning, I get a call from my mom, which isn't surprising, but she loves to talk. So I'm just sitting there letting her, you know, do her thing and listening like a good daughter does. And all of a sudden she breaks into, Erica, I really feel like God wants to move you into deeper relationship with him and teach you new things. And he's given you the same gifts that he's given me. And she starts listing them. And I'm, you know, I just started crying because I'm pregnant and emotional. And I was like, Mom, I just asked God yesterday. Like, how did you know? And of course she didn't, because God is awesome like that. But my mom has these really incredible gifts from God where he'll just tell her things about people that she would not know otherwise and shouldn't know. And uses that to be able to encourage people and lift them up and just let them know that God hears them and he knows them and he cares, that he's real. And I've had similar experiences in my life, and more often it's me waking up in the middle of the night just really impressed to pray for a certain person, and I can't go back to bed until I do. And so I feel like these are things that God wants me to work on and be like, hey, pay a little more attention to these things and stop passing them up and not listening to me. So the point of the story is, though, that God hears us. He cares about us. He knows us individually and intimately. And he wants us to ask him things, and he wants to talk to us and conversate and have a relationship. And so we're going to spend some time right now. We're going to play some music. I'm going to shut up and stop talking. And I'm just going to give you guys space. I needed space to ask God what it is that I was searching for. I'm going to give you guys space. I want you to think, what is the one thing in your life that you want to ask God for? What's the question you're always asking? What's the thing in deepest in your heart that just won't go away? Is it, do you still love me, God? Do you want to speak to me? What am I supposed to do with my life? Any of these questions. What is it for you? And hold on to that and just lift it up to God and ask him and see how he responds. We're going to give you time right now. If you got that one thing, I want you guys to stand up. We're going to keep singing, and we're going to ask God to fill us up with more of him, to lead us and take us into deeper places, and it's going to be awesome. And we're going to start off with a new song that's easy to catch on to. It goes like this.
You provide the fire. I'll provide a sacrifice. You pour out your spirit. Yeah.
good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are.
Still as you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still as you call me.
this next section in our time, it's gonna be our last section. After we have just focused on the beautiful, magnificent face of Jesus and recognize that he is a good father and he wants to hear from us and speak to us, the next step in all of this is just for us to yield, to surrender, to just tell God, hey, I trust you no matter what circumstance that I find myself in. No matter what your answer is, you are God, and I submit to you. And yeah, so we're going to sing this song. It just says, into your hands, I commit my spirit. And I love this song. We're just saying, God, we want to focus on your character. We want to live our lives based on who you are and who you say we are, not on our fears or whatever else that it is. We want to follow you, God, so take us where you're leading. Your will is more important than mine. So here we go.
Into your hands I commit my spirit, into your hands I lay me down, into your hands I commit my spirit, into your hands I lay me down.
Favor abounding when my cup overflows.
'cause she's over me, 'cause she's over me. For you are for us, you are not against us. Champion of heaven, you made a way for all to enter in. I stand before you.
Show me my who I am. And you are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To us.
One more time. You're a good, good Father.
You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are.
God, you are so good, and you love us, and you hear us, and you call us yours. And that is an incredible truth that I just pray sinks into every heart in this room, every heart listening online in their living rooms. God, and I pray that it sinks into my heart deeper and deeper and deeper. And I thank you for tonight. I hope that you're smiling down on us, that you are glorified, you are lifted high, and that you feel loved because you truly are. God, I love you with everything that's in me. Thanks, God. Amen. All right, you guys. Yeah. So good. Who said we couldn't get through an hour of music? Somebody said that. All right, I just want to leave you guys with a blessing, a prayer from Ephesians that just talks about knowing the depth and the width, the greatness of God's love and being filled with the fullness of God. They're going to put that on the screen for me so I don't have it memorized. I just want to bless you guys with this. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. So I bless you guys with that. Have an incredible week. And I just pray that you guys know this fullness of God, this deep love that he has for us, and that you live out everything you do this week, that it comes out of that truth. Be blessed. Love you guys. It's been awesome.